KNBR 680 presents.
Hitting leadoff.
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 The leadoff spot.
And that ball is gone. A home run. Leading it off. Leading it off.
Live from the KNBR studios with your host, the Waterboy.
Hey, Waterboy.
Marcus Boucher.
Waterboy, do your thing.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
And that's how this game gets started.
Marcus Jones is in on offense for the New England Patriots, setting up in the slot left. They're going to toss it to him. Jones to Jones, cruising upfield, and Jones down the sideline. He could go. Jones all the way. Touchdown.
A pass from Jones to Marcus Jones, the rookie, working that left side for 48 yards, and the score. New England takes the lead.
Allen operating from the gun. Take the handoff. Allen looking. Allen fires. End zone. Left corner. Caught. Touchdown. Stephon Diggs open on the play. And Allen delivers a strike. Allen got the snap. Moving to his right. Allen buying time. Allen throwing. End zone. Caught. Touchdown. Gabe Davis. Josh Allen keeps the play alive. Allen working from the gun. Two receivers off to the right. Singletary shifts to the right. Handoff, Singletary, a blast up the middle. Touchdown, Buffalo.
And that should do it.
Yes, indeed, that should do it for the kickoff of week 13 of NFL action. What's up, everybody? Happy Friday morning. It's Marcus Boucher, a.k.a. the Waterboy from the Murph and Mac Show, taking you up to 6 a.m. with my boy Overnight Dave, as always. And recapping last night's Thursday night game as we get ready for a pretty big weekend here in the Bay Area. Got the Golden State Warriors kicking off a three-game homestand tonight at Chase Center against the Chicago Bulls. We got the Sharks back on ice tomorrow in Washington. We got Aaron Judge watch going on here in the Bay Area as well. As the latest news is Aaron Judge is scrubbing his Instagram and what it means for his future, whether it is here in Northern California or not. I saw a few betting websites that said, you know what? Maybe the Giants are the favorite to land Aaron Judge now. So we'll dive into some Aaron Judge rumors this morning. Can also talk a little Logan Webb, who's going to be representing Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. And we can even talk a little USA soccer this weekend as they're playing against the Netherlands in the knockout stage of the World Cup. So plenty of things to keep an eye on the sports world this weekend. Number one being the 49ers and Dolphins game this weekend as well, and every game that's going on in week 13 of the NFL season. But we got to talk about the first game that kicked it off last night on Amazon Prime Video. Whether you're watching the regular broadcast or the Dude Perfect broadcast, it was kind of another boring Thursday night game. And I got to say, these primetime matchups, and it's a division game. It's the Buffalo Bills going into New England, going into Foxborough, and covering that 3.5-point spread pretty damn easily. It's something that me and my boy Paulie Mack were going back and forth all week. We saw this line open on Monday with the Patriots being a 5-point underdog, and I said, my gut feeling, my initial thought is you got to take Bill Belichick plus 5 at home. Short week on Thursday night football. But as we got closer and closer to the game yesterday, that line started to move. I'm like, this is interesting. People are pouring in money on the Patriots. And the line moved all the way down to 3.5. And as I started thinking about it more and more, I'm just like, okay, I know Belichick, defensive genius, a guy who's dominated the Bills throughout his whole entire career. The problem is he doesn't got Tom Brady playing quarterback anymore. Now he's got Mac Jones. Now he's got an offense that was struggling to put up 10 points last night. Now you got a corner named Marcus Jones being the only guy who scored for your offense when he doesn't even play offense. That's how bad this Patriots offense is struggling. We saw clips last night of Mac Jones yelling to the sideline, we got to pass the ball more, pass the ball more. The problem is, Mac, you're just not that good of a quarterback. And that's why we saw the Patriots struggle to keep up with the Bills last night. Kind of waved the flag in the fourth quarter. We got Bill Belichick kicking field goals when his team is down 17 points with 5 minutes left to go. And just like that, the Bills and Josh Allen get the win, and now they're back on top, first place in the AFC East for now over the Miami Dolphins. They have a 9-3 record. the Dolphins have an 8-3 record. And we all know who the Dolphins got to play this weekend. The San Francisco 49ers. Right here in the South Bay, technically, down in Santa Clara, where the 49ers will be playing back-to-back home games after the 13-0 shutout against the New Orleans Saints last week. A defense that has gone four consecutive games with second-half shutouts will be facing one of their biggest tests this weekend in the Miami Dolphins offense, and an offense that is led by Mike McDaniel. That's right, Mike McDaniel. And Dave, I think my talk stings are down. I wanted to hit a Mike McDaniel, Mike Jones drop right there for the people, because everybody's got to know who we're talking about. It's Mike McDaniel, the man that is the protege of Kyle Shanahan. I mean, you want to talk about, I don't know, what is it in Star Wars when it's like Darth Vader versus Luke Skywalker? We can go a little Karate Kid, a little Mr. Miyagi versus Danielson, or maybe in this case, it's McDanielson. But yeah, it's Mike McDaniel.
Who?
Everybody's favorite offensive coordinator, the Wizard of Oz, the man behind the green screen, the guy that was getting a lot of the credit for helping Kyle Shanahan become an offensive genius, and now he's turning into an offensive guru himself, leading one of the most high-power offenses in the league. And we can get into the reacclimation project that is Tua Tagovailoa. How Dolphins fans were ready to write this guy off and get him out of the building until Mike McDaniel stepped in, implemented this Kyle Shanahan offensive scheme. And now we see, just like Jimmy Garoppolo, with all the talent surrounded by him, Tua is thriving. And now he's put himself in maybe the MVP conversation. So we'll give you a big breakdown on the entire 49ers and Dolphins matchup this weekend. Who actually has the advantage between Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan? These guys know each other better than probably any other two coaches in the NFL. We always talk about, yeah, Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh, their connection and stuff like that. But Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan were literally in the film room together every single day. Whether when Mike was a quality control coach, whether he was a position coach, that was his right-hand man. But it also raises the question, does that give the advantage to the 49ers? And a guy like DeMeco Ryans, who also spent a lot of time around Mike McDaniel. And if the Dolphins are running the same offensive scheme or a very similar one to the 49ers, that's an offensive scheme that this 49ers defense sees in practice every single day. And they've been seeing it for the last couple years. I mean, we talked all preseason long about how the 49ers defense was dominating during training camp. Well, they did it against the 49ers offensive scheme. So maybe they will have some of that same success this weekend against a Dolphins team that is one of the fastest teams in the NFL. Whether we are talking about Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, two of maybe the best wide receiver duo in the league. Whether it's Raheem Mostert, who sounds like he's on track to play this weekend after his back-and-forth comments about Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers organization. Jeff Wilson suited up, ready to go this weekend as well. But one thing that could hinder the speed of the Miami Dolphins is the potential rain that could be taking place in Santa Clara on Sunday. From the weather reports I'm seeing, there's a 60% chance of rain. And if you were here yesterday in the Bay Area, it was raining cats and dogs. It was pouring. So maybe the 49ers grounds crew, knowing that the Dolphins are coming to Santa Clara, I am curious on whether or not they did tarp up the field yesterday down at Levi Stadium. Because if you want to play some 4D chess, you want to go X's and O's, you want to go behind the scenes, why not leave the tarp off? Why not get the field as wet as possible? Because I think that's going to benefit the 49ers. It's going to slow down the fastest team in the NFL. Everybody talks about the greatest show on turf and how teams play so much faster on turf. Well, if they got to play in a monsoon, and no, I don't think it's going to be that bad. I don't think it's going to be a repeat of what we saw in Chicago earlier this year. But if the field's wet, if it's muddy, it's going to slow down some of those speed demons for the Miami Dolphins. And vice versa, it's going to help a team like the 49ers, whose main goal is to run the ball and play defense. And they should be able to run the ball with Christian McCaffrey this weekend. After the news broke that he returned to practice yesterday, something that I kind of expected. A lot of people were worried about Christian's knee and how he aggravated it last weekend against the New Orleans Saints. Me, when I saw him come out of the game and the Fox cameras or CBS cameras, whatever TV channel the game was on, when they were zooming in on his knee left and right, like, oh, what's going on with Christian McCaffrey? And then Kyle Shanahan put him back in the game. So that showed me right there it wasn't too serious of an injury. And yeah, he missed a Wednesday practice. I told you guys yesterday, he did that all the time in Carolina. It's something that veterans do all the time. They just take a day off in the middle of the week for load management. And so that's what I think the 49ers were doing with Christian McCaffrey. And that's possibly what they were doing with Deebo Samuel, as he actually wasn't in practice yesterday. But we've seen him the past couple weeks not participate fully in practice but still play on Sunday. So we'll keep an eye on Deebo as well and what his status is for this weekend and how much they might be using him in the backfield without Elijah Mitchell and how they're going to factor in a Ty Davis Price, a Jordan J.P. Mason, hell, even maybe a little bit of a Tevin Coleman as well. But I think with the rain on Sunday, this is going to be a rush-heavy attack against this Miami Dolphins defense and vice versa. We'll see the 49ers defense put the pressure on Tua and the Dolphins, especially if Teron Armstead's not playing. Their stud left tackle, who is going back and forth and deciding on whether or not he needs to get surgery and end his season or if he's going to be playing this weekend. So that's another question mark up in the air. But all signs right now to me are pointing towards a 49er victory. They are a 4-point favorite at home against a team that technically has a better record to them. But I think they should be the favorite. And this should be one of the biggest tests of the year going against Mike McDaniel, the South Florida 49ers, and all these players and coaches that you are very familiar with. So let's talk about some of those familiarities. Let's talk about this matchup between Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel. Both sides of the ball, defense, offense, all the injury updates, and everything you need to know about the 49ers and Dolphins matchup coming up next. It's Marcus Boucher on the leadoff spot on a Friday morning on KNBR 104.5 FM and 680 AM, the sports leader.
You are listening to the leadoff spot. Available now on TuneIn.com through your smartphone or desktop. We are KNBR, the sports leader.
Dolphins opening drive of this third quarter. They lead the Bears 21-17. We're just underway. Drips to the right. Play action fake. Rolling to his left is Tua. Downfield.
Got it.
Touchdown, Waddle. The fourth touchdown of his season. 18 yards out. And Tua remains nearly perfect in this football game.
Jimmy, how beautiful is that play to watch? Little bootleg. Boy, Tua hides this so well and then knows he's got Waddle coming across the middle. Puts it right on the money. Boy, he really fooled everybody defensively.
He really sold it, Joe.
And Jimmy, that throw is right on the money in the end zone.
Catch KNBR at your crib on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Now back to the leadoff spot on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Back to the leadoff spot on a Friday morning. It's Marcus Boucher, a.k.a. the Water Boy, getting you ready for this weekend's matchup between the 8-3 Miami Dolphins traveling cross-country into Santa Clara to take on the 7-4 49ers. And what I've been saying all week is a pretty big game. And technically, I don't know if it is a big game, as my guy Adam Copeland will check in and tell you between 2 to 6 in the afternoon. But I do think it's a big measuring test for this 49ers defense. A defense who we all agree is one of the best in the NFL, but a defense that has had a few hiccups against teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that is known for being a high-power offense. Well, this weekend is a good test for you because it's great when you're shutting out teams in the second half four games in a row, but you're also playing against the Saints, the Cardinals, Chargers who have good offense, but the Rams who are decimated by injuries and are nowhere near the talent level right now that the Miami Dolphins are at. But if we're talking about teams being decimated by injuries, why not give you an update for both the 49ers and the Dolphins this weekend? Of course, starting off with the Niners, the good news that Christian McCaffrey was back at practice yesterday, and he plans to play this weekend, which answers a lot of question marks about the 49ers' run game and how they're going to attack this Dolphins defense that is technically number 9 in the NFL in yards allowed per game on the rushing side of things. So with the combination of him, Ty Davis Price, Jordan Mason,
9.
Maybe Deebo Samuel as well. The 49ers will have a plethora of options to run the ball this weekend against the Miami Dolphins. And the good news is Spencer Burford was also back in limited fashion yesterday at practice, which is obviously good news for the 49ers offensive line and their run game. Now, the man I brought up there at the end of the situation, a guy who could be running the ball this weekend, Deebo Samuel, was held out of practice yesterday dealing with that quad injury. Now, again, I don't know what this means for his status on Sunday. As Kyle Shanahan will tell us, I don't even know who's going to be alive on Sunday. But I hope the 49ers offense is alive and they're able to put up points against this Dolphins defense, because when you're playing a high-powered offense like the Dolphins, you're going to have to put up more than 13 points like you did last week against the New Orleans Saints.
That ain't.
So Jimmy's got to be better. The offense has got to be better. And I think offensively as a whole, they will be a better unit this weekend. The real question or the real matchup is between the 49ers defense and the Miami Dolphins offense. And the big thing to keep an eye on this weekend is whether or not the Dolphins are going to have one or maybe even two of their starting offensive tackles missing. I've been talking about Teron Armstead all week. We've been giving you the Eric Armstead updates and the Teron Armstead updates as well. Well, he's questionable. He hasn't practiced all week. You look at the right tackle, Austin Jackson. He hasn't practiced all week either. So that's great news for Nick Bosa. Great news for Charles Amenihu, who was back at practice yesterday. Drake Jackson, the entire 49ers defensive line. That will include Eric Armstead, who was also back at practice and plans to play this weekend. So this 49ers defense that has been putting on a show the last 3-4 weeks will be even better this week with Eric Armstead in the middle of that defense. And it's going to be the most important matchup this week. That's all we're talking about is the Niners defense versus the Dolphins offense. So I thought we played plenty of Kyle Shanahan sound for you yesterday. Why not go to the defensive whiz himself, D'Amico Ryans, the man in charge for the 4 straight second half shutouts, to get his thoughts on Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins offense. Here he was yesterday at his press conference breaking down the challenges that the Dolphins offense presents for this 49ers defense.
The Dolphins, their offense is very efficient because of the quarterback, right? Tua is very efficient at not only getting the ball out quick, but the accuracy and the way he delivers the ball, that allows the offense to be as efficient as they are. And you add the playmakers in that he has with 10, 17, 31, like those guys all have elite speed and big-time playmaking ability where they can take an intermediate throw and they can make a guy miss and go to the house. You know, not all offenses have that, and I think that's where this offense really lights it up, because each throw, it doesn't have to be a 50-yard bomb down the field. It can be a screen behind the line of scrimmage, and these guys have the speed and the playmaking ability to make guys miss and go to the house.
So what D'Amico Ryans is basically saying is Tua is a quarterback who can actually sling it. I'm riffing here, folks. I'm quoting Raheem Mostert from earlier this week, who made headlines about Tua, and coincidentally, or should I say, while doing so, also made some backhanded comments towards Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy played good enough for us to win.
Now, we've gone over all the beef, the back and forth, and we told you about how Raheem Mostert actually came on the KMBR airwaves with Greg Papa and FP Santangelo Sr. If you missed that podcast, you can go check it out on KMBR.com. I highly encourage you to listen to the entire conversation, because Raheem kind of walked back his comments, but he also just explained, like, yo, I was at Jimmy Garoppolo's brother's wedding. Like, I have a great relationship with him. Our wives are going to be hanging out this weekend. So I really don't think there's really any bad blood between Raheem Mostert and the 49ers. I do think he was kind of inaccurate, though, about how Tua can actually sling it. And from a quarterback perspective, he's playing fantastic. I said he's in the MVP conversation. But you heard D'Amico Ryans. Hell, you heard Greg Cosell on yesterday. We've heard Kyle Shanahan talk about Tua and his deep ball and his kind of lack of ability to push the ball downfield. Something similar that Jimmy Garoppolo gets a lot of criticism for as well. And that's why I think when you do look at both of these offenses, they run the same schemes. They're all about attacking the middle of your defense. Whether it is the Yak Bros here in San Francisco with Deebo and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle, guess what? They're doing the same thing in Miami with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and even Mike Gesicki.
Hell, you can throw in a Trent Sherfield or River Craycraft as well, and all the former 49ers who are now running this offensive scheme out in Miami. So you heard D'Amico mention the speed of a Tyreek Hill, the speed of a Jalen Waddle. I saw a stat going around on the internet that both of these guys topped out on their routes at 15.5 miles per hour. Two of the fastest guys in the entire NFL. So that's going to be a problem this weekend and a huge matchup for Charvarius Mooney Ward, for Jimmy Ward, Talano Hufanga, Gibson. I mean, everybody. You name it. Sammy Womack, you might have to be thrown out there on the field as well. You got to try to slow down this Dolphin speed. And I think this defense is going to get some help from the rain, like I said on Sunday down in Santa Clara. But here was D'Amico Ryans talking about that speed factor and how Tyreek Hill's speed is just a little bit different from everybody else in the NFL.
His speed is just different from anybody you've seen in the NFL, right? There's fast guys in the NFL, but then there's Tyreek's speed, and it's just on another level, right? Nobody runs as fast as him. Nobody can, you know, the routes that he's able to run, right? He's, like, behind the line of scrimmage, and he's able to run deep routes from there. Like, it's impressive, right? It's impressive, and it's a, you know, a special talent that he has. No one else in the league has that ability that Tyreek has, his ability to separate. And not only is just the speed, but he is very strong. When he gets the ball in his hand, he is a very strong runner, and he can bounce off of tackles and make guys miss.
I mean, his speed is different. And I've never been a fan of Tyreek Hill, and I don't think most 49er fans are a fan of this guy either, as overnight Dave checks in and whispers in my ear. He's like, yeah, we saw some of that speed in 2019 when he got behind Richard Sherman. I mean, it's true. We've seen it before. And that's why he is one of the best wide receivers on the field. Even though what he does off the field is pretty atrocious and he's not that good of a human being. Still, it's football. That's why you're going to see guys like Deshaun Watson playing this weekend against the Houston Texans. If you got talent, if you can play, they're going to put you on the field. And Tyreek Hill is going to be on the field, lined up with all that other talent from that Miami Dolphins offense. The offense that's once again ran by Mike McDaniel, the man that is the protege of Kyle Shanahan from the Shanahan tree. And that's why I do think it's interesting when you look at Tua, when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, when you look at both of the ways that these guys attack the defense, it is pretty damn similar. It's going over the middle. That's why I think it's going to be a huge game for Hufanga, for Fred Warner, trying to slow down some of those crossing passes over the middle. Because we've seen it have so much success here with the 49ers, and now we've seen it have so much success here with the Miami Dolphins and Tua as well. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday saying pretty much, yeah, the Dolphins run the same offensive scheme as us, so we're not going to be that surprised by it.
It is. It's our offensive scheme, you know, and McDaniels he's done a really good job of mixing things up, right? He's not too many plays are the same. He finds a way to get different players in different positions, a lot of different looks, a lot of different motions, right, to get defenses, right, confused and looking at all of these things that are going on. So he does a good job of, just as I look at it, is creating space, right, by moving guys around, making guys have to communicate and think, and then, you know, he hits you with any type of play, you know, whether it's run game, pass game, he makes the play action marry up with the run game, which makes it even more difficult. So just shout out to McD. He's doing a really good job there.
Shout out to McD. He's doing a great job there, and I agree. I think this guy might be in consideration for Coach of the Year this year, especially if Miami can make a postseason run, which most people are expecting him to do. The way he's turned around Tua's career, how he shut down the rumors about Tom Brady and Stephen Ross, trying to get the parent trap meetings with Brian Flores and bring him over to Miami. He's like, nah, I can do some things with Tua. I can make this offensive system work. And it's funny, like, I thought this would be maybe a potential landing spot for Jimmy Garoppolo with his familiarity with Mike McDaniel, and Jimmy actually talked about that yesterday. But before we talk about the familiarity between Jimmy and Mike McDaniel, I did also want to play some sound from John Lynch, who came on yesterday with Tolbert and Copes, to talk about the relationship from Kyle and Mike and how they are two peas in a pod, but that doesn't necessarily give one of them the advantage over the other.
I think the biggest value is just that you're familiar with the concepts. You know, I think so much of what Kyle, what Mike do, the genius of it is all the window dressing. People fly in every which direction before the snap, once the snap happens. But there's a lot of similar concepts. Now, the one thing I think you know, Kyle and Mike, I think they do so well, is they kind of generate a new game plan each and every week, you know, and and that's kind of the foundation of it, is all the different looks. It's similar concepts they run each week, but it's all the different looks they can derive it from. And so I think the familiarity, but I think that works both ways. I mean, I always say, when people say in that Super Bowl, you know, you guys had the advantage because you had Gruden, I said, well, Bill Callahan was very familiar with what Gruden did.
Come on, John. Why you got to bring up Gruden and Callahan? Do we have to go there? But he does make a good point. But I see overnight Dave losing his mind behind the glass. He was just going to pull down that sound by, oh, we got some technical difficulty, Washboy. We can't play this sound. I don't know what's going on. But he does bring up a good point. And overnight Dave also said, yeah, I hope the Miami Dolphins center is not down in Tijuana partying before the game as well. I don't think that's going to be an issue this weekend in Santa Clara. But it does raise the question on who really does have the advantage. Mike McDaniel knows his offensive scheme. But on the flip side, D'Amico Ryan knows this offensive scheme. It's an offense he practices against every single day. It's an offense that he's seen Mike McDaniel run. And we know that Mike McDaniel will mix in a little bit more RPO because Tua is a more mobile quarterback than Jimmy. But when you look at him from a throwing perspective, they do a lot of things that are the same. They're both extremely accurate over the middle. They're both extremely good at getting rid of the ball in less than 3 seconds. It's one of Jimmy's best qualities. Everybody gets mad when we talk about being a game manager and just hitting your checkdowns. No, that's what leads to being a successful offense. That's what leads to Jimmy playing good enough for the 49ers to win, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, Dave.
Jimmy played good enough for us to win.
It's as simple as that. If Jimmy just does what he's supposed to do in this system, they're going to win. And that's kind of what Tua is doing with the Dolphins as well. That's why there were a lot of Dolphins fans who didn't even want Tua to start the season. Now, most of those fans have changed their tune, but it was a topic that we were talking about when we were bringing up the Jimmy Garoppolo carousel and where he was going to end up this offseason and how we threw out names like the New York Jets because of his connection with Robert Saleh. Seems like they probably should have gone with Jimmy G over Zach Wilson. We threw out names like the Miami Dolphins because of the obvious connection between him and Mike McDaniel. Well, yesterday, Matt Maiocco actually asked Jimmy Garoppolo about his offseason conversations and whether or not there was a chance that he could have ended up being the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins this year.
Yeah, I mean, they were in a conversation. Not much came from it, but it seemed like a good spot. Yeah, I mean, as an offense, that's, you know, tremendous skill players, everything they got going over there. Mike, you know, being a great coach, had been with him in the past year, and it was discussed, but yeah, I'm glad the way things worked out.
It worked out win-win for everybody, didn't it?
No doubt, yeah. I think things got a way of working out, you know. Just how it is.
I mean, that's the thing. These were two teams that had question marks at quarterback. I guess it was a little different here with Trey Lance in the Bay Area, but these were two teams where people were like, oh, I don't know if these guys got solid quarterbacks. And now we're sitting here talking about the potential game of the week between an 8-3 Miami Dolphins team and a 7-4 San Francisco 49ers squad. A game where some people are saying it might be a Super Bowl preview. I don't know if we're going to go quite there yet because I don't know about this Miami Dolphins defense, but I do think in the NFC, it's wide open for the 49ers to take advantage of the opportunity. And that's why I do think this weekend is going to be a big test against a Miami Dolphins team that has scored 30 points in their last four games. But you also got to look at it on the flip side and say this is a big test for the Miami Dolphins going against one of the elite defenses in the NFL. Because it's great when they're putting up 23 points per game and 30 in the last four, but they've been playing the Lions, the Browns, and the Bears. That ain't the 49ers defense. That ain't Nick Bosa for you. That ain't Talanoa Hufanga. That ain't Fred Warner. It's going to be a little bit different this weekend. But with Mike McDaniel having that familiarity with the 49ers, it just adds another level and another, I guess, intriguing storyline for this weekend. So I did want to play one more piece of sound for you from Mike McDaniel, because he's just one of the most interesting men on the planet. And here he was yesterday actually kind of trying to deflect some of the storylines between him and Kyle Shanahan, the master versus the protege, Mr. Miyagi versus Mike McDaniel's son. Here was Mike McDaniel yesterday deflecting the narratives and saying this game comes down to the players that are actually on the field, not my past history between me and the 49ers.
I will do everything in my power to make it another game, because I think that should be the objective of any head coach, is that you make it about the players, and I really stray away from making anything about me. I just don't believe in it. I think that I have a very high opinion of the 49ers franchise and players, coaches, staff members. You know, I have a lot of love for anybody that I work with, especially for that extended period of time.
Yeah. It's the relationship that got him a head coaching job. And now he's surrounded by plenty of other 49ers like Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, River Craycraft, Trent Sherfield, and the entire South Florida Miami Dolphins. And this weekend, they are a 4-point underdog. But I told you, folks, I expect the 49ers to win. I do think it'll be a close game. I was expecting this number to be within a field goal. But with the reports that it might rain on Sunday and the reports that the Dolphins might be down two starting tackles with Terron Armstead and Austin Jackson, I think the 49ers win. And they probably cover that spread, to be honest with you, and which should be a rainy game down in Levi's Stadium. But if we're talking spreads on a Friday morning, you guys know what time it is. It's time for Bobby Boucher's Best Bets. We'll take a look around at the rest of the NFL schedule for Week 13 and give you our best bets on the leadoff spot with Marcus Boucher on a Football Friday on KNBR 104.5 FM and 680 AM, the sports leader.
Jimmy played good enough for us to win.
You are listening to the leadoff spot. Available now on TuneIn.com through your smartphone or desktop. We are KNBR, the sports leader. Missed an interview or want to hear it again? Catch them all at knbr.com/podcasts. You're tuned into the leadoff spot on the sports leader.
It's the leadoff spot on the sports leader of Football Friday. Marcus Boucher, a.k.a. the water boy, a.k.a. Bobby Boucher, which means, folks, it's time for our best bets of the week as we look around the entire NFL schedule for Week 13. Recapping what we did last week, we held ground, Dave, 1-1-1, got a push on the season with the Packers covering the 7 points against the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. We took the Chargers against the Cardinals. That ended up being a 1-point game. And we went back to the wishing well and taking the under in the Broncos and Panthers game last week. It hit under 36 points. And now, folks, we are officially 25-10-3 against the spread on the season, picking games every week right here on the Sports Leader. So why not get straight to it and get you our picks for Week 13? Starting off in the NFC West. That's right. We're not talking about the Arizona Cardinals, who are on a bye week this week. We're going to go check out the Seattle Seahawks and the LA Rams, or what I should say is what's left of the Rams at this point of the season. The Seahawks are a 7-point road favorite in SoFi Stadium this weekend. It's the biggest spread of Geno Smith's career, and I'm still laying the 7 points.
Seven.
The Rams might be experiencing the worst Super Bowl hangover in maybe sports history. You want to talk about a team that sold their soul to the devil last year. Blank them picks. Well, hey, now it's blank your season because you might not have Matthew Stafford playing this weekend. He could be shut down for the entire season dealing with concussion and neck injuries. You got Cooper Kupp who ain't playing. Aaron Donald ain't playing. I don't know who the hell is going to be playing for the Rams this weekend. So I think Kenneth Walker is going to run all over this Rams defense. And I think Geno, DK, and Tyler Lockett are going to put up points like they did last week against the Raiders. I like the Seahawks this week in a division matchup. It's a big number, but they're playing against a bunch of backups with the LA Rams. So I'm laying the points with the Seahawks this weekend. -7 on the road in LA.
Seven.
Then I'm going to go to a game that some people probably thought I would have stayed away from. It involves the best team in the NFL. The only team with 10 wins. The Philadelphia Eagles. A team that I bet against last week. I told you to take the Packers +7. Even with Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, Bryce Love came into the game, or Jordan Love came into the game. One of the Loves, whoever the backup quarterback is for the Packers, came in, and they still got the 7-point push. The Eagles are 10-1. The last 3 weeks, I have not been impressed at all. The last 3 weeks, actually, they're 0-2-1 against the spread. We saw them outright lose to the Washington Commanders. We saw them almost lose to the Indianapolis Colts. Hell, they almost lost to the Green Bay Packers last week. And that's why this week, I'm taking the Tennessee Titans plus 5 points in Philadelphia. The last 3 weeks, we've seen this Eagles defense get exposed in the running game. And there are rumors that maybe the rookie Jordan Davis will be back this week. I still don't think it's enough to fix that defense for the Eagles. They have been getting ran on left and right. And if you want a team that can run the ball, it's the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry. It's as simple as that. They're one of, if not the best rushing teams in the NFL. And before losing last week against the Cincinnati Bengals, they were one of the hottest teams in the NFL as well. They went 8 games in a row covering the spread. Last week, they were a favorite. They might have been getting 1 or 2 points, but ended up losing to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, as an underdog this week, getting 5 points, I love the Titans. I might take them for the upset win as well. Mike Vrabel and that Titans defense, since Vrabel has been the head coach and has been an underdog getting more than 4 points in a game, he's 15-4 against the spread. And straight up, he's 13-6 in those games. I might be smelling a money line upset winner right here with the Titans, so I'm for sure taking the 5 points this weekend in Philadelphia for Derrick Henry to run all over the Philadelphia Eagles. And then, folks, guess who's back? The Denver Broncos are back in our lives in Bobby Boucher's Best Bets. And it's getting to the point where I feel like I'm just ripping the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson every single week, which, to be honest with you, I enjoy doing. I'm going to relish in every opportunity I can to see Russell Wilson struggling, to see him getting booed at home, to see him getting chirped and yelled at by his own teammates, to him having his wife, Sierra, throw a birthday party on Tuesday and only half the team showing up. Things are bad in Denver. And that's why I bet against them almost every single week, folks. This week, they're playing against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, it's an 8-point spread. It's a spread that I don't like at all because we've seen the Ravens blow multiple fourth quarter leads this year. They blew one last week to Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I do not want to lay the 8 points with the Ravens, but right, I will take the under 40 points. The Broncos have been hitting the under all year. They actually still have a decent defense, even though Bradley Chubb will be playing the Niners on the Dolphins this week. And 7 straight games have now hit the under for the Denver Broncos.
7.
10 out of their last 11 games have hit the under for the Broncos.
10.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm going back to the wishing well once again. Follow me to a land down under. I am taking the under 40 points in the Ravens and Broncos matchup this week. And those, my friends, are your Bobby Boucher 3 best bets of the week. Again, we're taking the Seahawks -7 against the Rams, the Titans +5 against Philly, and the under 40 points in the Broncos and Ravens games. But there are a couple other games I am keeping an eye on this weekend. We talk a lot about the 49ers and Dolphins potentially being the matchup of the week. If there's one game that's going to compete with them, it's the Chiefs and the Bengals, an AFC Championship rematch game. The Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Cincinnati to take on Joe Burrow and the Bengals, who are one of the hottest teams in football right now. We saw them get a win last week against the Tennessee Titans. We've seen them cover in 8 of their last 9 games against the spread. And now they're getting +2 points at home. I would have loved this game if I was getting more than a field goal, because the Bengals are getting the return of Ja'Marr Chase, one of the best wide receivers in the entire NFL. There are still some injury questions with Joe Mixon on whether or not he's going to be out of the concussion protocol. And like I said, with this offense, I think this game's going to be a shootout. Over-under opened up at 50, 51 points. It's up to 53. I still think it's going to go over. And I think it's a game that's going to be decided by a field goal. That's why if I could have got the Bengals +3, 3.5, I probably would have been taking them this week. But I also think Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are out for revenge. They knocked him out of the AFC Championship game last year, and I can't bet against Patrick Mahomes, so that's why I'm keeping it outside of my best bets, but I just wanted to mention it. I'll probably end up laying some money on the over 53 points in that game this weekend. And then another game that people are keeping an eye on, I don't know if it's for all the right or for all the wrong reasons. It's the return of Deshaun Watson. And his first game back is in Houston versus the Texans. I don't know if you want to call this poetic justice. I don't know if there's any justice that's going on with Deshaun Watson after serving his 11-game suspension. This is a guy that hasn't played in nearly 2 years, almost 500 days. And he's a 7-point favorite this weekend in Houston against the Texans. I don't know if we should even be calling this a revenge game, and I don't know for who. Deshaun was trying to get out of Houston forever. The Texans said, screw it, we'll finally trade him. They got some draft picks. And the Cleveland Browns ended up giving him a $230 million fully guaranteed contract. And now they're handing the keys to the car from Jacoby Brissett to Deshaun Watson. I think the Browns win this weekend, even if Deshaun struggles a little bit because Nick Chubb should be able to run all over this Texans defense. But a game that's definitely going to get a lot of headlines and a lot of eyes on this weekend and the return of Deshaun Watson. But a couple of games that I'm going to keep an eye on, and I know my boy Overnight Dave will as well, is the Raiders and the Chargers. After we almost took the Raiders last week for the upset victory in Bobby Boucher's best bets over the Seattle Seahawks, we took them the week prior to outright beat the Denver Broncos. And now they got a rematch against the LA Chargers. And that's right, Dave. And this is an interesting game because the Chargers already beat the Raiders back in week one. A game where Khalil Mack had 3 sacks. Yeah, it's hard to find a pass rush. How about a guy like Khalil Mack? Well, it also happened because he was bookend by Joey Bosa. Joey's not playing this weekend. He's been out for a while. Mike Williams ain't playing. I know Keenan Allen is back, but this seems like to me the Raiders are somehow, some way picking up some momentum. Back-to-back overtime walk-off victories. Davante Adams against the Broncos. Josh Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt last week against the Seattle Seahawks. Ran for 303 yards, or should I say had 303 total yards, the most ever in Raiders franchise history. They're playing against a Chargers team where we saw the Niners ran all over them. A defense that allows almost 5 points per game, and this spread has been going back and forth all week. With the Chargers minus one, the Raiders minus one, this game's a pick 'em. You know me and Dave are picking the Raiders in this one, but I couldn't do it for one of my Bobby Boucher's best bets, but I thought we would keep an eye on that game and everything else that's going on in the entire NFL schedule, the NFC West with the Cardinals off, the Seahawks as we took as one of our best bets against the LA Rams this weekend, and some of our top games with the Titans getting plus five against Philly, the Broncos and the Ravens to hit the under with Lamar Jackson, Chiefs, Bengals, AFC rematch, and the return of Deshaun Watson. But on the other side, it's the return of the Murph and Mac Morning Show. We'll get you ready for a Football Friday with Murph and Mac on KNBR 104.5 FM and 680 AM, the sports leader.
You are listening to The Leadoff Spot. Available now on TuneIn.com through your smartphone or desktop. We are KNBR, the sports leader. The Leadoff Spot with the water boy, Marcus Boucher, continues.
Check with water boy, all right?
Check with Marcus.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
All right, wrapping up the Leadoff Spot this week. Fun week of shows. Thanks to my guy, Overnight Dave, behind the glass, as always. Getting you ready for a pretty exciting weekend going on. Starting off with tomorrow, USA, USA. The United States men's national team in the World Cup in the knockout stage against the Netherlands. Shout out to our guy, Logan Webb, who's going to be repping the USA now in the World Baseball Classic. And of course, all of that's going to be leading you up to Sunday, where the 49ers are playing host to the South Florida 49ers, the Miami Dolphins. Mike McDaniel. I'm getting confused with the Raiders head coach. McDaniels, doesn't matter. You're going to get Mike McDaniel this weekend. To be honest with you, I wish the Raiders probably would have ended up with Mike McDaniel instead of Josh McDaniels. But we talked a little bit about the Raiders and Chargers games and our best bets. We also talked a lot this morning about the Niners and the Dolphins and the potential rain this weekend in Santa Clara and how that might benefit the San Francisco 49ers. I know it was raining pretty heavy yesterday here in the city yesterday, Murph. Good morning to you. Happy Friday. Did you stay dry yesterday?
What's up, Bobby? The damn Dutch, anyway.
Oh, there it is.
Dave with the drops about the Dutch tomorrow.
What cares about the damn Dutch anyway?
But that's not the Michael. That's not the Michael Caine Austin Powers.
That was not the Austin Powers drops.
Yeah, that's all right.
But Dave's got drops about the Dutch. What do
I
you
guess
need?
I guess the Dutch have a rich history of getting roasted in pop culture. Huh?
Mind him that these people are from the Netherlands and not the Nether regions.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, OD. Checking in on some USMNT tomorrow morning.
Speaking of Nether regions, the quote, this came out yesterday during our show. I wanted to get on, but Pulisic, some people are saying it's one of the great quotes in U.S. sports history. I didn't get hit in the balls.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what he said. That's like Derek Lewis, my balls is hot.
Yeah.
I understand.
Great balls quotes, 808 KMBR.
Christian Pulisic, I didn't get hit in the balls.
Yes.
I understand.
There it is.
Very good.
The pelvic contusion.
How's Bobby Boucher feeling this weekend?
I'm feeling good, man. Yeah. Going into this week with a best bet record of 25-10-3 on
That's
the season.
Great. Dude, you might want to.
I'm feeling hot.
Dude, you might want to knock off this radio gig and set up your own shop.
I'm like,
you know what I mean?
Hey, man, come out to Vegas, man.
I got the hookup for you, man. That's it. That's going to be me.
Oh, man.
Got a spare bedroom with your name on it, Holmberg.
There it is, Paulie. There it is.
25-10-2?
25-10-3. I got a push last week with the Packers +7.
The forecast can only dream of such.
I'm going to say the numbers.
I mean, we're over 500 as a group, but we're not touching that.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, people know, or maybe they don't know, I do a betting podcast where I bet on every single game every single week.
Well, every single NFL game.
Yeah, me and my buddy, we do a podcast where I do it every single week. And last Sunday, I'm actually disappointed. I gave the people a 1-1-1 week. But last Sunday, I went 9-3-1. I just didn't pick any of the winners.
Bobby Boucher, why are you not wearing fur coats and driving Cadillacs?
That's what I'm saying. Because they won't legalize sports gambling in California. That's why, Murph.
You can do it, man. You can find your ways.
Yeah, uh-huh. This is all just speculation.
Yeah, this is all. This is all. We're playing for widgets, right? Or I don't know. What's the unit of what's the non-currency unit?
Shekels. Shekels.
Well, that actually is currency, isn't it? Why don't we go with, widgets. Yeah. Well, you're winning a lot of widgets,
This
buddy.
Is like when you're in jail and you're betting cigarettes and stuff like
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, you're winning a lot of damn
stuff. It's behind the scenes.
You got boxes and crates of cigarettes.
That's it. I'm stacked up.
Given how I went last week, I may need to consult Bobby Boucher.
This is my question because I know you're gone next Friday.
Yeah. You can step on
and
in.
So that
buddy.
Means I'm going to have to come into the forecast.
Yeah, but there is no. This is what happens now every year. The college football dries up.
So I can go NFL.
You can.
Woohoo!
Although, actually, in the past, what I've done is done Army, Navy, and then one of the FCS 1AA games.
Well, I will be at Army, Navy next
Friday.
You
have a responsibility as an American.
Yeah,
you're going to have to address Army, Navy.
Okay.
But we'll have to touch base so we don't take the same games. I do, too, but, we'll figure it out.
He can do college.
You do? Yeah, do some college.
Yeah, maybe you'll do Army, Navy. Maybe I'll sprinkle it in. But it goes on Murph's record, not my record.
Yeah. No, that's y'all's business.
And let's say both win, then I'll take the
credit for it. I'm over here trying to look out for myself.
But if they lose, they're on Murph.
I got my own problems out here in the forecast. Because do you know where I am? I'm in the forecast,
I'm in the forecast. They don't call me Saturday Waterboy. No. It's Saturday Murph.
Sunday Waterboy.
Sunday.
Well,
we're getting ready.
It's Friday,
but we're getting ready for Sunday. The Dolphins and 49ers squaring off this weekend. And squaring off next is Murph and Mac on the Murph and Mac Show. You're listening to KMBR, AM and FM in San Francisco, a Cumulus Media station, the sports leader. And the Murph and Mac Show starts right now.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.